we've just done is an impossibility and persecutable by death. So when we do freely have the opportunity to worship God in the way that we just did this morning, man, I tell you what, it's a privilege and it's an honor. And the freedom that we experience in this beautiful country is wonderful. Speaking about our country, there's one thing that I want to do before we dive into the word. And I want to really pray for America. Amen. And the reason why I believe we should pray is because the Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority over us. And it's our responsibility not only just to pray for ourselves and our surroundings and our immediate family and our friends, but also for those in power. Let's also lift President Trump up in prayer because, you know, we need him to be healed of COVID. And it's been an interesting week, you know. So won't you stand this morning as we bring the United States in prayer? Father, as a community here in the Woodlands, Texas, we realize that your hand is upon us, and we realize that you are here because your word says that you are here where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them. And Father, because we recognize that, and because we don't want to look upon it lightly, Lord, we want to stand this morning and agree in one heart for our nation. We pray, Lord God, that you would keep this nation on track, that you would keep this nation following in your footsteps. We pray for our leadership in government. And Father, we also specifically pray for President Trump, and we pray for supernatural healing, and also for Vice President Mike Pence. Lord, as he steps in, Lord, we pray that you will guide their steps, Lord. So many prayers have gone up for them, but Father, we know that you direct our path. You know the end from the beginning. So we agree in Jesus' name, Lord, that this is your nation. And Lord, we are here for a purpose and for a time. And so we just thank you that you carry us in this next month leading up to elections, Father. We pray against the rise of crime and vigilantism and just the disturbance of peace in Jesus' name. We thank you for keeping us all safe as a community, but also we pray that you will keep your hand strongly and firmly over the United States. Thank you, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, in the last couple of weeks, we started with storms in our lives, all right? And just as a recap for those of you that have not been here in the last couple of weeks, which takes 3 or 4 minutes, just to recap where we've come from so that you'll understand where we're going. And we started with looking at storms, the storms that are unprepared in our lives. Those are the ones that take the wind out of your sails and it swipes you from the side. How many of you have in just the last 2 weeks experienced a side swipe in the form of a storm? Hands up. This is real. Hey, just last week, I know in this community, man, we were desperate in prayer for certain situations. These storms come your way, and they come when you don't expect it. They come when you don't need it. And they come when you cannot afford it. And these storms really can swipe your feet under you. All right? In those times, it is imperative that you speak life. But how can you speak life if you haven't inputted life into your heart? You see, church, the heart is like a sponge. All right? It takes in and it takes in and it takes in. And when the storms come, what happens to the heart? It gets pressurized. But when you then apply pressure to that sponge, what oozes out? Whatever you've put in. Make sure that in the times of plenty, in the summer seasons in your life, make sure that you put enough into your heart. You see, so often as Christians, when everything is going well, we tend to put God onto the back seat. Isn't it? I mean, we are human. You know, when life's good, you get busy with the things that you enjoy, and God blesses us maybe financially, and we get a boat, or we get a motorbike, all right? Or we get a Ferrari, or a car, or a Porsche, or a Lexus, whatever it is that, and the blessing of the Lord makes us rich, all right? But we so often then put God and His principles on the back burner. And then when times of crisis comes and that pressure comes on that heart and it starts squeezing, we find that our what's coming out of the heart is not going to be able to sustain us. So we need to input. And what do we need to input? We need to input, like Joshua said, Joshua 1, he says, I meditate upon the Lord day in and day out. You see, it's not just about hearing it, it's about doing it as well. All right? Make sure that you get the word of God in. Because when those storms come, and trust me, they will come, you're going to be squeezed. And what comes out is then going to be evidence of what you've put in. So make sure, if you're in a season of summer, all right, and a season of growth and blessing, please, I beseech you, don't forget the word of God. Amen. Make sure that you input it in. So that when the storms come, that sponge gets pressurized. Then last week we spoke about being kingdom-minded, because he said that we need to be living as children of the light. So children of the light, there is a call of God for us to be living in accordance to what He expects us. What does God expect us as children of the light? We belong to a kingdom with a king, right? And we are ambassadors. We speak on behalf of that kingdom. We carry the name of Christ in that kingdom, all right? We have to speak in a certain way, and we've also got to please God. And how do we please God? Hebrews 11, it's impossible to please God without faith. All right, faith pleases God. And then it comes full circle. How do we get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preaching of the Word of God. Can you see how this is a cycle? And it's a cycle of dependence. You know, as humans, we become intra-dependent with one another. You know, if Scott does something and he's really good with X, Y, and Z, all right, I know if I need to go and I need to something needs, I'm going to Scott. If I need something that needs to be fixed, Tony is the man. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm going to call because that's his expertise. We become interdependent one another. And that's okay because we are a family. We can't all be the head or the shoulders or the feet, all right? Some of us are the fingers. Some of us are the mouth. Some of us are the neck that steers the head, all right? I get that. But we need to become dependent on God in everything. Because without that, the full circle cannot be established and cannot retain itself. And how is that? Faith, Word of God. Faith, Word of God. Can you see how it works? Beautiful. All right, so today what we're going to be looking at is we're going to be looking at the one of four conversations that we need to have. David, what are you talking about? I'm talking about relationships. There are four pillars in relationships. Which are they? I've spoken briefly in the past couple of weeks about them. Love, trust, respect, communication. Now place yourself in any relationship that you've had, whether it's platonic, amiable, or romantic. All right? Without those four, any relationship cannot stand. Which are they? Love, trust, respect, communication. Think about it. Just take half a minute. Can any relationship grow or maintain an established growth pattern without any of those four? Now let's look at our relationship with God. What is our relationship on God based on? Love. What does the Bible say? You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your strength. That's what God says in His Word about love. And then the next one, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But love God first. Love God, love people. There's the love. God is a God of love, and we'll look at the attributes of God in a while. Trust. What does the Bible say about trust? How does trust get built? Trust gets built over time. Think about it like this. Trust is never enforced. Trust is always earned. But that trust is earned over an expanse of time. And how does trust get broken? In an instant. And then you have to build, bless you. Then you have to build trust again over time. But what does the word say about trust? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That trust needs to happen over time. Trust in the Lord with all your heart when it's good. Trust in the Lord with all your heart when it's bad. Lean not on your own understanding. Why? Because our own understanding is but here. Now we know in part, but then we'll know as through a veil. But then we'll know in full. God has given us time to be able to stop us from seeing all the things that he has planned for us. And you know what? Those are good things, because no eye has seen nor has ear heard of the things that the Lord has prepared for those that love him. Do you love God?
Yes.
Man, that should make you jump up 10 feet into the air and say, whoa! God is for me. God's got good things planned for me. Because can you think it? Not even when you think it, can you even reach the pinnacle of what God has got planned for you. I'm very creative. I love flying. I've told you guys before, in my dreams, I love flying, man. The Superman thing. Or just go up and see. I love flying. My father-in-law's, yeah, we used to fly gyrocopters. We share that very much. Love for Porsches, love for gyrocopters, love for his daughter. All right, let's get those three things. All right. But here's the thing, I love flying, all right? And so often, I'm not sure if Johnny is in the crowd today, but I speak to him, where did you fly? I mean, I love to hear about the flights and these things. But if you can think it, God says, that is not even the tip of the iceberg for what I've prepared for you. And in my mind's eye, love the stars. I love the galaxies and the cosmos. I just can imagine going to Andromeda in my dreams. Just go bang, and there I am. Like, just experience 300 billion stars, all right? And then God says, did you think it? I said, yes, I thought it. He says, that's just the tip of the iceberg. Eye has not seen, nor has ears heard of the things that the Lord has prepared for us that love him. The most important thing here is love God. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. What does that mean? In all your plans. In Proverbs it says, many are the plans in man's heart, but God directs your path. You think you're here by accident? No ways. You are here because God ordained your steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by God. I'm here to encourage you this morning that God is a relational God. He is a God that wants relationship with us. We were created for intimacy with God. All right, trust. Respect. How do you respect someone? You respect someone by the way that you address them. The way that you act shows respect. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. No, what is that? Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom is understanding. No, got it? But you know what I'm talking about. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One, understanding. There we go. That's it. I got it. That for me is respect. Not fearing God because he's going to shoot you with a lightning bolt. That's not the kind of fear that we're talking about. We're talking about respecting God for who he is. He's creator. All right? And then communication. And this is where we're heading this morning. Communication. We first need to understand before we can before we can take this all in, who God is. And there are many different attributes of God, but I'd like to focus on four. God is omnipotent. God is omnipotent. We take that two words and we break it apart. Omni means all, and Pastor Mark would be very proud of saying, all means all, and that's all means, all right? All. Potent, potenza, the Italian, or potens, the Latin, is the root of that word, right? It's a very potent brew, or it's a very potent vehicle. It's a powerful. And if I say all powerful, it means that God is more powerful than anything that you can imagine. Omnipotent. Go with me to Jeremiah 32, verse 17 to 22, and it says here, "Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. You show love to thousands, but bring punishment to the parents' sins into the laps of the children after them. Great and mighty God, whose name is the Lord Almighty. Great are your purposes, and mighty are your deeds. Your eyes are open to the ways of all mankind. You reward each person according to their conduct and as their deeds deserve." God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. If you think about the most powerful thing that currently can come to mind, I'm thinking about the sun and solar flares. I was speaking to my son Joshua about solar flares and how those things can affect the earth. After 8 minutes, a big explosion, and the aurora borealis, all those beautiful northern lights, those are effects from the sun. But those things are incredibly powerful. Not even that to God. Supernova, when a star explodes, all right? Not even that. A black hole, most probably the most powerful thing to have gravitational pull because of its weight and mass. Not even that to God. You see, you need to understand that God says, He speaks a word, and it happens. God says, "Let there be light," and there was light. God says, "Let there be a division between the earth and the waters," and it's so. God says, "Let there be animals from every kind." God says it, and it happens. That's how powerful. He doesn't need to work it. He just says it, and it's done. Something beautiful, when God created the earth and the heavens, He spoke it into existence. But isn't it beautiful when He made man in His own image, but He formed man. And then the most beautiful thing happened. He breathed His spirit into man.
Amen.
He just didn't speak us into existence. He formed us, but He formed us in His own image. Why? He set us apart from the rest of creation. Why? It's because he had to have something to be able to contain His precious Holy Spirit. And why? So that we can have a relationship with Him. He says, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Church, there's something very beautiful that happens when we allow the Spirit of the living God to operate in our lives. The weak become strong. The poor become rich. The blind see. The deaf hear. The brokenhearted gets restored. the deceived get new light. The dead come to life. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I would encourage you, whenever you sing a song, and we'll go back to Ephesians 5. Sam, I do apologize. I'm really jumping back. But Ephesians 5 is where it started for us. And we're going to read from verse 15. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Does it sound like we are living in this scripture right now? The days are evil. You just have to turn on the television. You see, these things are evil. People are doing evil things. They are aborting babies. It's evil. They are killing people for selfish gain. They are deceiving others in words. It's evil days. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. What is His will for you? His will for you is to be restored. His will for you is to be free. His will for you is to be effective. His will for you is to bear much fruit. How do we bear much fruit? We remain in God and let His words remain in us. Then you will bear much fruit. His will for us is to bear fruit so that we can be children of the light, so that we can serve other people with peace, with patience, with kindness, because there's the distinguishing factor. It says here, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is so important to live by the Spirit. Allow the Holy Spirit to sing through you. Allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. Josie, when you are cutting hair and trimming this, and when you're speaking, you've got an opportunity to speak life into that situation. Be awakened when you are serving someone. If you're a teacher and you're in school, think about the opportunities that you've got with the kids. If you're retired, pray. Say, Lord, where do you want me to go today? Where can I be effective? Let your Holy Spirit guide me. Gerald, whenever you're doing things, whether it's RV park or whatever you're doing, say, Lord, where can I be effective today? Lord, guide me by your Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, but constantly make that a decision. So God is omnipotent. Why do we do this? Why do we have to look at who God is? Because if we don't look at who God is, how will we understand how to pray? How will we know how to speak to this God? He's also a good God. In Psalm 119, verse 65, he says, do good to your servant according to your word, Lord. Teach me knowledge and good judgment, for I trust your commands. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. You are good. What you do is good. Teach me your decrees. God is a good God. He's not only all-powerful, omnipotent. He is not only the one that holds the universe and the expanse of everything more than you can imagine in the palm of His hands, but He's a good God. He overflows with goodness. His thoughts towards you are good thoughts, not to harm you. The plans that I have for you or plans to prosper you, Jeremiah 29. How often have we read that? Plans to give you a new hope, promise. That's the kind of good God that He is. Man, I tell you what, it makes me so excited because I know that I never have to do life alone because I know that God is for me. This omnipotent God, the God that speaks stars and galaxies, into motion. He sets everything in motion. He's the author and the beginning and the finisher of faith. It starts with him and it ends with him. God is sovereign. As we've seen in the story of Job, God is a sovereign God, man. Even Job, as he was on the ash heap, scraping his sores with a potsherd shard, he says, "Oh Lord, I've sinned. How can my lips declare these things when you are sovereign?" In Chronicles, "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor." Oh my word, just take those five words and look at that. You understand that God is sovereign. "For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." Once again, we're in a kingdom, and a kingdom's got a king. This king is a good king. He's omnipotent, but he's sovereign. He directs your steps. Like I said, you think you're here by accident? No, ma'am. No, sir. You are here because God is sovereign, and he destined for you and purposed for you to be here this morning. Then, number four, I mean, there are 30 of these. It might be a great series to look into the attributes of God, because we know that God is so much more than just these four. He's also, what's his name? Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah Shalom, God, my peace. So beautiful. But in this case, God is love. God's love is so great. I think that God's love is so great for you and me that he gave his only son, Jesus, to die for us. Such was the love of God. John 1, 1 John 4, verse 7 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. Man, isn't that awesome that we've got a God that loves us with an everlasting love? You see, and as we start looking at these attributes, we start realizing, we start to catch a glimpse of who God is. This omnipotent God. A God that knows how many hair your head carries. He knows of every brand new gray hair that comes out, or whenever a hair falls out. With permission, Diane, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, she just freaked out. She's like, "Oh!" I thought, "What's up?" She says, "I've got a gray hair." I said, "You got to pull it." And we plucked it. And there was no hair, gray hair anymore. Guess what? It grew back. But here is the thing. God knows. And he still cares for you. You think that you are alone in this. God says to you, "Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you." "Yes, but you don't know how many times I've been lied to." God says, "Trust in me. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will make your path straight." You see, we've got a responsibility. When the storms come, we saw that we can't always guarantee of what happens to us. But we always have got the choice of how to respond. How are you responding this morning? The first conversation that you need to have is a conversation between you and God. Think about it. Go to God first. Why? He's your source. He's your strength. He's your peace. When life gets too much and you've got anxiety, go to God. We so often want to run to a best friend. That's an important conversation to have, but that is not the first conversation that you need to have. When your storm happens, go to God first. Remember when we said that? God first. Everybody say it with me. God first. Have that conversation. Because before you start trying to have any kind of negotiations with a problem or a mountain or a storm that you have, take that issue to God first. Because He loves you and He cares for you. And if we go to God first, we have to understand how to pray. And which better example do we have than what Jesus showed us in Matthew 6? So let's go there. Let's go. He says, we all know the Lord's Prayer, but we're going to break it up into just a couple of bite-sized chunks. We've got another 10 minutes or so. This then is how you should pray, Jesus says. Before that, let's go back to verse 6. I'm not sure, Sam, if you can go back to 6 because I haven't given it through to you, but just to quickly paraphrase, he says, when you do pray, he says, take yourself and separate yourself into a closet and then pray to your Father who is in heaven. Do not ramble with babblings, some of the versions say. But it says what you need to do, you should separate yourself, speak to your God, to the Father who is in heaven, and the Lord will reward you with what was done in private. All right? That is from verse 6. Yeah, there we go. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on, there we go, there's the word, babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask them. Amen. So isn't it amazing that when you go to God first, guess what? God is omniscient. It's one of the attributes of God as well. He knows it. He knows it even before you go. But why? Why do you then have to pray? It's because He wants that relationship. He wants that dependency upon Him. Then go to God. He says, oh God, I am not interdependent. I'm dependent. Solely dependent on You. And you know what? He honors you. He honors you because of your faith that you place in His hands. And He says then, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. What does that word hallowed mean? It means consecrated. It means set apart. It means holy. Hallowed be Your name. Church, God is a holy God. He's a God that is for us. He's also God. Jesus said, be He holy, for I am holy. He's a holy God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, there's a progression here. It needs to be established in heaven first before it becomes a reality on earth. Think about it first. Established in heaven, reality on earth. We walk in the reality of God's purpose day by day. Your kingdom come. He says in Matthew 6:33, he says you should have a kingdom-minded approach when you do these things. Seek first the kingdom and all these other things will be added to you. When you go to God and you're anxious, when you feel betrayed, when you go to God, He says, cast all your cares upon Me, for I care for you. Give Me your anxiety, because I care for you. Then here is the part that speaks about God's sovereignty. It says, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You need to trust that God is a sovereign God. Whatever you're going through in your life, that separation that you didn't see coming, that storm that has swiped your feet under you, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see now, what will happen? I've lost my job. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. You see, God knows that we need daily bread. He knows it. He's made us to need food to live. But you know what? Why can we not time travel? Is it possible to time travel? Absolutely not. But why has God just given us this moment and the next moment? And in 5 seconds, we're going to have another moment. Can you see how it works? It's so that we can live in this moment. I would like to encourage you with this. So quickly, I shared with the team this morning, the music team, says, we are but a breath. In an instant, it can be taken away from us. I've got a very good friend in South Africa. She's the wife of my business partner in South Africa. And her dad was a minister of a church and built a beautiful church, a 600-seater church, the most awesome church. And you know what? He went for a jog, 52 years old. He went for a jog and he had cardiac arrest and he died. He passed away from glory to glory, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And you know, there were so many questions, 52 years old, and it was taken away just like that. Guys, girls, we've been given this moment. And you know what? Moments come and moments take your breath away. Moments take sometimes take your feet away. And moments might sweep you away. But in those moments, God knows that you need your daily bread. He knows when there's a family member that needs salvation. He knows when you're going through a separation. He knows when someone gets called and you just get that call and someone's in hospital and something has happened. He knows those things. He knows exactly what you need. And as we go, give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. He also knows that people are going to do things to you. He knows that you're going to need to forgive others as well. Amen. It is important to know that God will forgive us. And lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. That is how he said we need to pray. And certain of the very versions says, for thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. See, Jesus told us, this is how you need to pray. You need to speak to my Father. He says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I will do for you. All right? So when you pray, make sure that you follow this example. I'd like to close by looking at how Jesus prayed when he was so anxious. How did he pray when he was in distress? In Matthew 26, verse 36, it says, then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Jesus was a man just like you and me. He knew of the cup that he needed to drink from. And he became sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. How many of you guys have been sorrowful almost to the point of death where you felt that, man, I can just almost die. I've been there once in my life. I know what that feels like, to be so anxious. I spoke to my dad once as well, and he said to me, man, I feel so anxious. It feels like I could just breathe my last. Have you guys been there? You know what I'm talking about? Jesus was a man just like us. So he said to them, "Stay here and keep watch with me." Going a little farther, he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken away from me." And here's the beauty. "Yet, not as I will, but as you will." And three times he did that. So if Jesus, being the embodiment of God in human forms, taught us how to pray, how much more as we pray and as we've got a conversation with God, how much more do we need to be reminded that God is a Father? He loves us as a Father. We're His children. How much more do we need to understand that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One, understanding? It's because if we start to apply those things, we start to realize that God is sovereign. He has ordained our steps from the beginning to the end. He knew what Pastor Mark was going to go through. He knew what you're going to go through. He knows of all the troubles that you're facing. And He loves you so much that He will give you a hope and a future. In the verse after, He says, "Seek me and you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart." Church, the first conversation that you need to have is with God. And you need to learn to speak life as you've got that conversation. As you speak to God, say, "Father, you are sovereign. You have carried my steps from here till there. And right now, whatever I'm facing might be so overwhelming and it might bring me to the point of anxiety where I feel like I want to die. I just want to give it up all. But not you, not my will, but your will be done in my life." Amen. See, because that's the way that Jesus taught us how to pray. And then what you do, you speak life into your situation. Why? Because He's given us His word. And all those promises that I've been speaking of for the last 4 or 5 weeks, you take a hold of those promises and you start speaking that promise into your life, into your situation. "Yes, but Lord, I still feel this, but never have I seen the righteous forsaken nor their children begging for bread. Never will I be alone." Can you see there's a golden thread? We cannot choose what happens to us, but we can choose on how to respond. Go to God. Go to God in faith. Speak life, but know that God is sovereign. Know that God is omnipotent. God can, in an instant, heal. God can, in an instant, turn your whole life around. But not my will, but your will be done. Amen? So what we'll do next week is we'll start to look at the other conversations that we need to have. But I'm going to close here. And if you wouldn't mind just closing your eyes, just bow your heads. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.